If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. And the grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 chews a day. They taste like chewy Starburst. They're delicious. Anytime, anywhere to get the blood pressure support that you want. And if you love Super Beats Heart Chews, you'll love their all new delicious vitamin D3 chews. Now, vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humanin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. And now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. That's a free bag of the vitamin D3 chews and heart chews with your order of 2 bags of heart chews. Visit danasbeats.com.
The variant isn't making kids any sicker, per se. Is it because the statistics, as the studies have come back from children in COVID, from the UK, what did we learn there? Some 99.995% of the 470,000 children in England infected survived. I mean, that's an incredible survival rate. The Delta variant isn't making kids any sicker, is it?
We don't have any evidence that is doing so, and that's really great news.
Oh, they don't have any evidence doing to, oh, but go ahead and everybody wear masks. You must. If you don't wear a mask, it means you're a devil worshipping baby eater. Something like that.
That's,
I don't know.
The kids.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash. It's Wednesday. Let's punch people in the neck together.
Oh, yeah.
Yay. It's good to be with you guys. And Wednesday. I'm wearing a hat today because I can. Because that's what Mike can do in my job. Yay. And it's like kind of a mood right now. You know what I mean? So welcome to the show. It's Wednesday. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, I guess you hate being informed. And I, you know, there's nothing anybody's going to be able to do to help you out with that. But if you did sign up for it, then you got a lot of good stuff yesterday and today as well. So as we get moving on, the big post, by the way, that I mentioned yesterday of all the stuff, it went out last night. Apparently, someone did not understand that when I have a super long post, it only puts half of it in the email, and then you have to click on the link at the bottom. And so I got bitched out by somebody who did not, and I totally unsubscribed, refunded them, and blocked them because I don't got no patience. Dana doesn't got none. It literally says clicky linky at the bottom. It worked. I mean, it was like forever long. That's just what happens when you have a frillion words and all kinds of images and all that stuff. It'll only have partial. That's just what it does. But it's
that much damage from writing. I mean, there's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about a lot of stuff. We're talking about a lot of video of leftist insurrections. Because that actually was an insurrection. Some of the stuff I put in there, it legit was. Okay. So I just listen to it because we got a lot of stuff. They're trying to make us, I swear to you, I really think that they're trying to do another lockdown or national mask mandate thing. Although a lot of governors, if they want to get reelected, I don't think that they're going to go along with it, especially if they're Republicans. I don't think that they're going to go along with it. I really don't. So a number of things to talk about. That's one of the top stories. And again, danalash.com. And don't forget, we got that Odyssey app that you can also listen to the show on. But that is really, I think that's what everybody's talking about, is the masks. All my friends who live in the areas that are bringing the mask mandates out again, they are livid. And I understand it. I would be pretty upset about it also. So you need to watch and make sure your elected officials aren't trying to get one over on you. Because now we're at the 15 days to slow the spread. We're right back there. We are right back there. No joke. So now you have, and the audio soundbite that we played, that was Walensky. That's the CDC lady. She's like, we're just going to need a couple of weeks of masking. Just, you know, a couple weeks of masking to slow the spread. Just a couple weeks. A couple weeks of masking to slow the spread. That's all. I think I've heard this one before, right?
Sure did.
The masking, the sequel. That's where we're at. So she was talking to the one guy on CNN. I don't watch CNN's programming. Am I supposed to know who this dude is?
I think Berman is his last
name. I don't know. You don't even know who he is. Yeah. No, nobody knows who this guy. We don't watch this stuff. We don't know who this dude is. We don't watch this guy. He's got a seriously severe side part. Someone should have told him that the Gen Z doesn't like that. Gen Z wants you to do the middle part. Anyway, I don't know. My whole point.
John Berman. That's who it is.
John Berman. Excellent. Thank you. So he is. He had on Rochelle Walensky. And she says that they need, she's like, yeah, European style health passes for the administration to nightclubs and other venues. That may well be a path forward. Not going to happen. So she says the new mask wearing guidance, more vaccinations could halt the case. So basically, if you were vaccinated, it doesn't matter at all, is what I'm hearing correctly. Yeah. Right?
Yep.
So this, and I, you know, I was looking at, like, you know, I'm looking at all the state-by-state data where there's, I mean, all of these people, they have like half, some of these states. I was looking at Vegas. I was looking at, you know, I was looking at St. Louis County too. We talked about them yesterday. And I have all of this in my notes. I mean, people were doing what they said to do. And it's crazy because a lot of these places that are implementing these mandates are some of the places that had for the longest time what they called the COVID protocol in place the longest, right? With the mask wearing and the 6 feet of masks and the distancing and everything else. Just here's an idea. Just wrap yourself in bubble wrap. Ooh, no, better yet. Get you one of those things that it's the, they come in super handy soccer moms, literally like soccer moms. Like if you're on the, it's freezing and you're watching your kid play soccer and you can get the, it's like the individual tent. And sometimes you can like hook up a little heater to it. I'm not saying that I've done this or have thought about it or planned it out at all. I'm just saying that they allow for such things to be done and you can be completely isolated from everyone else and also still warm and see people and wave. It's the way to live life. If you hate people, which I also think is just, you know, not really synonymous with being an introvert, but whatever. So the wearing mask. So 2 weeks now, a couple of weeks. That sounds just too vague for me. How about no? So I was thinking of a friend of mine all morning on this. And she's hysterical because she has this thing of, she has a way of dealing. She grew up in Georgia and she's married to a friend of mine and it's hysterical because whenever she doesn't like something or doesn't want to do anything, she just says, no, thank you. It doesn't matter what it is. Like she's done this before when TSA has asked, you know, those things that they have right when you're getting on the plane, like you should already go through this before you even get to the terminal. But they want you to put your bag. Sometimes the ones who are really high on their own farts, they want you to put the bag in the steel thing to make sure that it fits. Right. And they make a big point of it. And they tried doing that to her once. And she's like, oh, no, thank you. And they're so confused because they don't know. Wait a minute. Did we offer her something? Everybody stops. She's like, oh, no, thank you, ma'am. You need to put no, thank you. And they don't know what to do. She has done this when she's gone into stores and they've tried to tell her to, you know, put a mask on or something. She'll go, oh, no, thank you. No, thank you. And then it makes them all confused because they think that they offered her one, but they didn't. And so it gives, they stop and are, you know, the hamster does double time in the wheel in their head and it gives her enough time to get away. It's actually brilliant. It is so, I can't do that as convincingly as she can. I think if you're from Georgia and you have that accent or South Carolina, even Alabama, Mississippi, where if you're from a state where you have an accent, you could, not Boston, not you people. That, no, thank you. I mean, it just doesn't work out the same way, right? You have to have, I think, the Southern accent. You guys could get away with this totally. Because I can't even do it. I'm like, no, thank you. It doesn't sound the same, right?
Right.
She has that cheery kind of Delta Burke sort of, no, thank you. Like, how you? I love it. But it sounds so polite and you're not offended. There is the psychology of it is brilliant. I feel like I need to like appropriate in the same way that, what's his name? The Baldwin, the guy, Beetlejuice Baldwin, Alec Baldwin.
Alec, yeah.
Like the way his wife appropriated Spanish heritage. I think I just need to do that. So I sound super polite when I'm resisting. No, thank you. No, thank you. So I'm just thinking that's maybe all what we should do. And something like this, the 2 weeks to slow the spread. So this is the latest from the CDC. Now this, let me pull, because I have a couple of things here related to this. So England is now skipping quarantine only of vaccinated visitors. Vaccinated visitors only. So that's, I feel, because I don't even think that they're doing the, because I think if you show that you have a negative test, don't you still have to? Every country is so different. So Tokyo set another virus record, 3,000 daily cases. And the way it's reported, it makes it sound like it's fatalities, right?
Right.
Yeah. And then they said that Tokyo governor urges younger people to get vaccinated to slow. But if, okay, so wait, if you have to get vaccinated to slow the virus and the virus isn't, I mean, you still can get it even with it, apparently. I'm confused. Then how does it slow it? Especially if people say, well, it just means you're going to Dana. You're so stupid. This is literally some of the email I got. You're so stupid, you stupid woman. It means that you're not going to go into the hospital or die.
But then why worry about the unvaccinated then?
Yeah, and also, even when you contract it, what's the fatality or survivability rate, Kane?
Oh, among kids, 99?
No, I mean like general people.
Oh, well, then we're over 99%.
Okay. Well, then why are people saying, well, I guess you just want to die or go to the hospital? Why do they say that?
Again, it's about cases and not deaths. And that's, they just have to hype up the panic. That's literally what they're trying to do.
I don't need people to hype up the panic. I grew up in a dramatic family. I don't need people to do that. You know, it's like I grow up and then I want to get away from the drama and I'll be damned. Now the government's following me. Leave me alone. Stop it. So also today, let me pull this up. The Democrats, I don't know what they think they're playing an ace card. One of my favorite things in the world, and I really do love this. I have C-SPAN for this reason. Am I the only person who will watch C-SPAN like other people would watch a daytime soap opera? My stories is on. Wait a minute, I gotta watch my stories. Schumer's back in the floor. Let's see what happens. Dun, dun, dun. So he is, they're telling everyone, okay, well, get ready to vote on, they're going through the parliamentary procedures for the infrastructure bill. They want to get that, move it on the floor, et cetera, and, you know, all this stuff, open debate. They are ready to have this. And it, my favorite thing in the world is watching them think that they have an ace card. Now, this is Schumer. This was just a little earlier today. This is what he is instructing senators to do. Listen.
With respect to infrastructure, senators continue to make good progress on both tracks of legislation. Members should be prepared to vote again on cloture on the motion to proceed to the bipartisan infrastructure bill as early as tonight.
Hmm. So there's still no bill written yet.
And they're calling it bipartisan too, by the way.
Wait a minute, what? Bipartisan.
Yeah.
That's like getting something where it says mostly natural flavors. Mostly natural. Yeah, mostly natural flavors. Bipartisan. It's not. So they're going to have a fight over this. Get prepared for that. Now you're going to be called a murderer because what? You don't want to, you don't think that everything that's not infrastructure is infrastructure, right? That's how it is? Okay. I just wanted to make sure we have it because it can be very confusing, right? I understand. All right. We have a lot on the way. We're going to talk to Adam Kinzinger's primary challenger. Because now I'm all interested in Adam Kinzinger's primary challenger. I think Adam Kinzinger's primary challenger became my best friend. I've never met this woman. But just for the simple fact that she's... I know. I'm not saying her name purposely. Because I'm playing up the absurdity of how much I dislike him. It's absurd how much I dislike him now. And I was generous. I know we got to get moving. I can feel people screaming at me. As we... Because we have a lot. So we're going to get into that. We're also going to get into some of the economy stuff. Some CRT. Ah, yeah. The Simone Biles thing. And also, Elizabeth Warren wants your money. Again, we'll talk about all of that. If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. And the grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 chews a day. They taste like chewy Starburst. They're delicious. Anytime, anywhere to get the blood pressure support that you want. And if you love Super Beats Heart Chews, you'll love their all-new delicious vitamin D3 chews. Now, vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humanin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. And now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you buy two bags of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. That's a free bag of the vitamin D3 chews and heart chews with your order of two bags of heart chews. Visit danasbeats.com.
When you're stuck discussing politics with your friends, who's the most informed person in the group? Yep, you are. You're welcome. Listen, follow, subscribe.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So, the two Koreas are letter writing each other. True story. The Koreas are writing letters, and they're exchanging letters. And this is a good thing. They're talking about. So far, there's no signs of any movement towards any kind of normalized, I guess, relations, because all the talks were stalled after the pandemic, et cetera, et cetera. They said that they're exchanging leaders, pledging that they will restore relations. We promise to think about pledging to restore relations at some point in the future. So North Korean state media, they're saying that they're confirming major efforts at recovering mutual trust. That was the language that was issued. So that's not too bad. That's, of course, got started under Trump. People get mad at Trump, but at least he was like, you guys get along now. And now they're talking. So there you go. Oh, man, I was wondering how this is going to happen. So Ken Paxton wins the coveted Trump endorsement over George P. Bush. Now, I talked with George P. Bush on my program, No Apologies. I've linked it in the newsletter as well. And I asked him about everything. Like, how do you feel about Trump and your family? And what about the Alamo? And et cetera, et cetera. It was a good conversation. But George P. Bush has been trying to distance himself from his family. Obviously, he has ambitions for higher office. Everyone who comes from Texas going through the Lane Commissioner does. But in fact, it was Paxton who ends up winning that Trump endorsement. So how is that going to play out with voters, especially when Paxton, he's got some legal stuff that he's dealing with. We will watch and see. Facebook and tech giants are targeting targeting attacker manifestos and far right militias, and they're putting them all in a database. How is far right militia defined? That's a great question that no one actually knows, but I'm pretty sure if you wear a red hat or a hat, maybe, or if you just look like you might be conservative, then you might go. Housing boom is over. New home sales fall to a pandemic low. We'll talk more about that when we get into the economy stuff. We have a lot more on the way. Coming up, the latest. Americans want BLM riots investigated. And the issue with Simone Biles. Don't go anywhere.
More Americans died from drug overdoses last year than any year on record. Yet parents and kids are not being educated on the crisis, and there seems to be no real plan to address it. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, former DEA official Derek Maltz joins me to discuss just how big a problem this really is and what can be done to fight back. Don't miss this really important conversation. Subscribe to the Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
I say put mental health first, because if you don't, then you're not going to enjoy your sport and you're not going to succeed as much as you want to. So it's okay sometimes to even sit out the big competitions to focus on yourself, because it shows how strong of a competitor and person that you really are, rather than just battle through it.
Welcome back to the show, danalash.com. That was Simone Biles talking about why it was that she withdrew from the final competition for the Olympics. And if you subscribe to the newsletter, Chapter and Verse, that I have, then you got, I have a piece on that come out today. So let's talk about this for a minute, because I think that there's a number of things that are happening here. This is not a super simple, neat and tidy little story. It really isn't. And to give you my perspective into this, because I was an athlete in school, I've played soccer. I did 17 years. I studied classical ballet, and to the point where, I still have like situations like with my feet, particularly when you're in, when you're in point shoes and you go as hard as you do, where you can still tell, you like grind your feet down to nothing. But I studied 17 years classical ballet. I performed everywhere, and I played soccer. I was varsity track, varsity cross country, you know, did all the meets. And I had one time in high school, I had to have foot surgery, and I also wanted to make sure that I made districts, and I ran with stitches in my feet. So yeah, legit. So, I would have blood in my shoe. That's because, so I understand that. I get that. Not everyone is nuts. Not everyone is obsessed with, like, I was very athletic. I was very performance driven and very, very, very disciplined. And I think that you kind of have to, and the reason I say this is because you kind of have to understand that perspective a little bit going into the story, because not everybody, some people have skill sets elsewhere, right? Some people have drives that are elsewhere. Not everybody understands everyone else's story. Now, that being said, this is how I kind of looked at it. First off, I think that in some ways people are overthinking this. I do completely, entirely agree that we have a culture that encourages navel gazing. We have a culture that very much views ambition suspiciously. It's a culture that teaches that, you know, pride in one's country is something to be ashamed of. I get it. And I, like I said, I completely understand some of the attitudes towards this. I mean, we celebrate in our society and encourage mediocrity. We celebrate and encourage victimhood. We say that failure is the new winning. It's the hate America most unofficial policy. I get it. So this is why I totally understand some of the arguments from my friends who say things like Simone Biles choked, she wasn't prepared, and you know, if she knew that she wasn't going to be equipped or ready to compete at this level, then she should never have gone to Tokyo in the first place. I totally understand the criticism from people who say that she waited until the middle of the competition to withdraw, and by doing that, she cited stress but then placed an inordinate amount of stress on her teammates who, because, you know, she withdrew, they had to perform in every event, whether they were prepared or not. I get it. Teammates who were actually younger than her, who maybe weren't accustomed to the pressure at that level as she is. I get it. I had a friend yesterday who was like, remember Carrie Strug? I remember Carrie Strug. Carrie Strug is a year older than I am. I think a year and a half older than I am. She competed in the 1996 Olympics and the Summer Games. And I watched that, her vault, with my mom live. And she broke her ankle in competition. And because Bella Caroli does not know how to add, and he was a brutal coach, we didn't learn till years later what all these girls had to deal with. I had heard some stuff about Bella Caroli from some friends of mine who were in gymnastics, like at a very high level. But Carrie Strug, she was told, you got to do one more vault so the United States can get gold. Well, the United States basically already had gold. And she did that vault and landed on one ankle. And the nation erupted into cheers. She was held up as, you know, that is the model of sportsmanship to which every athlete should aspire. And you had Bella Caroli, who had been yelling at her, was like, you know, you can do it, Carrie, and all this. And when she exited the floor, they were helping her out and they handed her right off to serial molester Larry Nassar. You can see him in the video. I included a screenshot for you in the newsletter. And Larry Nassar was there also with Simone Biles for years. She had to undergo a lot of therapy. So did some other gymnasts. I've heard people say that, well, you know, there's other athletes that face pressure and stress. Kobe Bryant, I cannot tell how many of you, that a lot of you sent me this story. The reason why I'm talking about it is because a lot of you actually reached out to me about it. And you sent it and you're like, hey, what about Kobe Bryant? And he did. He shot free throws with a torn Achilles. And then, of course, nobody could forget, you want to talk about stress and being at the center of the storm, Jesse Owens, 1936 Olympics. He owned Hitler on the world stage. Sidebar, it was very interesting to me because Hitler reportedly didn't acknowledge Owens, but Owens said his later that his worst treatment came from Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who would not acknowledge Jesse Owens, didn't send him a telegram, Owens said or nothing, because, as it was reported, FDR did not want to upset Southern Democrats. I know. That was some stress. Owens, I think, took gold and everything he was in. He was the best athlete by far. One of my favorite pictures is Owen standing atop the highest platform, the 1936 Olympics, when he got one of his gold medals. And you had some goofy little Nazi standing way below him with his stupid little Nazi salute. And Owens was there. He had the wreath on his head and his hand on his heart. He was there just, you know, he was standing for the anthem, and he had all of America at his back to support him. It is an amazing picture. Here's the thing. I've also seen people say, well, Simone Biles is so lucky. She doesn't live in Russia. She doesn't live in China, where she would be forced to compete. That's true. Athletes in America, they go as far as they do, not because they're coerced to do so, but because of really admirable ambition and self-discipline. They can stop at any time. And that is what Biles did, apparently. I was watching video of her performance, her last vault in slow motion. And they had one of the commentators from NBC, one of the sports commentators, go over the technical aspects of her vault. And at one point, it started off good enough. And then at one point, as she ascended in the air, you can tell something did not seem right. And if people who are not trained to understand every twist, every turn, every lean in vaulting can see something, you know that's something catastrophic for people who are trained to see it. And that commentator was going nuts. Like, oh my gosh, and here she's lost in the air. I kept hearing that phrase. She's lost in the air. And at some point she was. She didn't really know which way to turn, and she was just trying to figure out her surroundings as she was coming down. She pulled really, really, really far to the right, and it was bad. And apparently, I mean, here's the thing. It doesn't matter how good of an athlete you are. It doesn't matter how much of a goat you may be, greatest of all time. When you are rattled, it's hard to get over. It's tough. You add that to the difficulty of her maneuvers. This is why Simone Biles is so different. She is a powerhouse. When she enters and her starting jumps are scored at such a much higher level because the technical difficulty of what she incorporates into each of her maneuvers is so far above what the other girls do. She doesn't come in and just do a simple vault or a simple floor routine. She comes in and she throws the bells and whistles in. And sometimes the difficulty of her maneuvers and jumps, they're so difficult. She actually scores on average a couple points higher than everybody else just because of that. Just because of the technical difficulty alone. That means she can make some big mistakes, but the technical difficulty alone would keep her above everybody else. Now, that means that you can't get lost in the air or you will snap your neck in half. When you're doing that kind of stuff, you can't get lost, period. This isn't like track where you're running on a flat surface. This is some serious business. And I mean, you could say that she technically choked. I mean, I don't think that there's any other way to say it gracefully. But here's where I disagree with some folks. I do not think, and this is why I told you what my athletic background was, I do not think for one second that somebody like Simone Biles goes as hard as she did for as long as she did to walk away for anything other than a self-defeat that she did not want to make official on that floor. That's what I think. There is no way an athlete like that throws anything away as a stunt. Y'all, we are not talking about the 36th NFL draft pick here, okay? We're not talking about Colin Kaepernick, who tried to make up for his complete lack of skill with protest. This is not the same thing. She is literally the best gymnast alive. But the only person who can defeat the best gymnast alive is the best gymnast alive. She lost before she even made it to the floor. She may have lost before she even arrived in Tokyo. Her last vault performance score And apparently the score that she had from her bar routine was lower than that of her teammates, even with her technical difficulty. And the way that it was reported is that she realized that she wasn't going to pull this off. And so her staying in would cost the team the silver medal. And so she withdrew to save the silver medal because she was pulling them down. And I think that that's true when you look at, I was looking at actually what the scores were, et cetera. NBC had a story on it. And I do think it's easy for folks who have never competed at any level to say, yeah, you know, the decision should have been made before the first alternate was told that they had to sit home instead of going to Tokyo. I get it. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes you don't know until you put your feet in the blocks. Sometimes you don't know until you walk out on that floor. I totally get why some people are mad, though, because America, we're the story of comebacks, right? We're the story of, I mean, the Karate Kid fought through everything. Rocky Balboa, Ricky Bobby, Talladega Nights, my gosh. That's what we live for. We love the underdog. We love the comeback. We love the redemption. But we always expect the hero to fight through it. And we expect the fight to be fueled not by a desire for more medals or for prizes or for attention, but to vanquish the most powerful enemy of all, which is self-doubt. So, I still think that we have a society that encourages self-defeat and mediocrity. And they teach these as virtues, in some ways, to undermine the republic. And I'm really hostile towards that. But the Biles story, I don't believe is that. Because even without the gold medal, she's still the best gymnast there. I mean, her technical difficulty, the technicality of her jumps, no one can touch them. But I do think that her story is not so neat and tidy as it is being presented. We have a lot more to get into. So, economy. No one cares if people don't like Jeff Bezos. Can we talk about, I feel like there's some Marxist stuff. I see a lot of kind of people in the middle, some independents, trying to hate on Bezos because he's rich. I just don't like him because of his ideology, and I think he's a stooge. It has nothing to do with his money. We're going to talk about all of this and more here coming up. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms. Pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
The weird, the unusual, and the hilarious. Check out Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Consistent with the newly updated guidance from the Office of the Attending Physician related to the increased threat from the Delta variant of the virus, the chair wishes to inform all members and staff that masks will once again be required in the hall of the House. However, members will be permitted to remove their mask temporarily while under recognition. To be clear, members and staff must wear masks in the hall of the House at all times except when a member may remove his or her mask when recognized by the chair.
So they have the mask. That's the mask mandate if you're on the... But I, you know what? I just saw them all at the Capitol, like, hugging each other after that hearing for January 6th. Yep. And nobody was wearing masks. Nope. Super spreader. Super spreader event. That's what it was. Total super spreader event.
And somehow, if you're recognized, the virus no longer is interested in you.
And then I just saw a picture of her because she's in the pink jacket today, right? Yeah. With the giant pearls. Okay, so I just saw her like walking around with a bunch of people in a video and in photos with no mask on, surrounded by a bunch of people. So what? I Yeah, I'm just like, how does that work? It doesn't. Here's the thing. What gets me is that I feel as though people are arguing, well, my vaccine isn't going to work unless you have your vaccine, because your vaccine is going to power up my vaccine, and that's the only way it works. That's not how that, it doesn't work that way, right? I mean, I don't, that's not science. I've never, does not work that way. I mean, just some, because someone else doesn't have a vaccine doesn't mean that your vaccine doesn't work. But see, I also feel, and I'm speculating, don't ban me, YouTube, you bunch of sniveling fascists, but it is kind of, they're using it as an argument, I feel, a lot of people, to try to get the vaccinated to go after the unvaccinated. Yeah. Well, you know, your vaccine would work, but apparently it doesn't, because you can still get it and other people are going to threaten you with their unvaccinated status. And people, instead of going, why doesn't my vaccine work? Some of them go, well, you're right. Let's burn these witches. I mean, that's kind of the response. Instead of going, wait a minute, I thought that was the whole point of the vaccine, right? Was so that I wouldn't. And now you're telling me that there could be breakthrough cases. And then they're trying to downplay it because they freaked everybody out and they went too far. And everyone's going, wait a minute, what's the point of the vaccine? Even people who are vaccinated are going, what was the point of this? And now the government's like, wait, we don't really mean like that badly. I mean, just like some breakthrough cases. But you should totally shame these people who didn't get it. We have a lot more coming up, including some people not understanding that your money is your money and your money is not their money. And your money is also not the government's money. So stop. We'll talk about that as it relates to Elizabeth Warren and her insane math coming up. Let's talk about trust. Now more than ever, we need to support organizations like Patriot Mobile that really share our beliefs and actually do something about it. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier and donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes you and I care about. There's no better time than now when we celebrate our freedoms and Independence Day to check out Patriot Mobile. Switch today and choose between 50% off your first 2 months or $100 off any phone in stock with a 1-year commitment. Choose a plan that best fits your budget with multi-line discounts and free premier activation. Switching is easy. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call the U.S.-based, highly rated customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more. Switch to a company that you trust to tell the truth. Get 50% off your first 2 months or $100 off any phone in stock with a 1-year commitment and free premier activation by using promo code Dana. See details at PatriotMobile.com/Dana or 972-PATRIOT.
Remember, let's look at someone like Jeff Bezos, who is worth $1 billion. He has not paid taxes on all of that wealth. Don't describe it that way. In fact, Jeff Bezos, many years, has either paid nothing in taxes or has paid about 1%. Why? Because his income is very, very small, but he continues to grow his wealth through all of his Amazon stock. And how does he then fund a lifestyle like he does? Not by cashing in Amazon stock, but by borrowing against it. Right now, smart, we have a tax system,
I'm gonna do that,
because it focuses principally on wealth, that actually doesn't capture the folks at the very top.
It does, though. That is Senator Elizabeth Warren. Remember when she said that she was a Native American and lied about it, and she got busted by Cherokee Nation and all their genealogists, and then she literally wrote a cookbook that tried to pass off crab dip as an actual authentic American Indian recipe that they created, crab dip, and she, you know, yeah. We just got to bring this up again here on the Dana Show. I'll keep it going for a minute. Welcome, and you can't hear it if you're watching the simulcast. It's Paul Revere and the Raiders, Cherokee people. DanaLash.com. I have a special affinity for Elizabeth Warren because she lied about it, and she was called out about it, and then she like appropriated an entire ethnicity and actually displaced other people when she wrote with her own hand on a card when she was applying for a job at Harvard that she was a person of color. I mean, you know, her own handwriting doesn't lie. It's just bizarre. It's bizarre. It really is. Really, the chorus of this is, this song is just really the best part of it. You can go ahead and just, you know what, let's like forget all formalities, Kane. Just like scooch on right up there. Scooch on right up there to that chorus. Oh, you faked me out. Here we go. And Cherokee. You gotta wait for that. Is that a violin? What is that? Flute? I don't know. Clarinet? I'm not quite sure. Welcome to The Dana Show, everyone. This is how we do radio. DanaLash.com. Everyone else is boring. Subscribe to the newsletter chapter and verse. We got to talk about this because the whole situation with Jeff Bezos. I don't know why. Like, I see a lot. And I see some people. I see some of our friends on the right. You all know that you see them, too. I see people getting mad at him because he's rich. And I'm like, I don't care that he's rich. I mean, I think the guy's a stooge for his political opinions. But I don't begrudge him his money. All the stuff that Elizabeth Warren is talking about here, these are legal things to do. Legal things that she and other Democrats and some rhinos, everybody else protected. Just get rid of, first off, let's just establish this. Taxation is theft. Stealing, the government stealing people's income is theft. Property tax is theft. Property tax means you don't get to own your own property ever. You never actually really own your own home. You never actually really own your own property. Now, I myself prefer a graduated consumption tax, graduated based on levels of income. That way, everyone is in the system regardless. And that can go towards your roads and all that other, your Article 1, Section 8 stuff that's relegated to the states. Have it go to that. But income tax is theft. It's a Marxist principle that was only ever supposed to be temporary, and it wasn't. You can blame Woodrow Wilson and FDR. And property tax, you don't even ever get to own your own property taxes. I also don't think that any property taxes, if you're doing a graduated consumption tax, I don't think that people should be forced to even, honestly, I think all public schools, everything needs to be treated as, I'm told you, I'm pretty like hardcore. I get capital L with this stuff. People should just treat it as private school. Let people have their own money to send their kids to school, right? I couldn't believe that a lot of public schools, they spend per student more than what people pay for private school. In Ohio, they spend like per student, they spend, because my kids went, they were homeschooled and they went to a private, well, they're still at a private school. But I think anywhere from like $5,000 to $6,000 more than what I was even paying for private school. And I had an event in Ohio where I was speaking and I almost fell off my chair right at the table in the middle of the whole thing because I could not believe what I had just heard. And then I was like, I got to go look this up. And I was in there at this, you know, this ballroom. It was this fundraiser thing. And I'm like looking at my phone, looking at, and actually looked up the statistics on what Ohio public schools pay per student, what they cost per student. That's unbelievable. You should have little Einsteins, geniuses, right? Everything should be solved as much as we spent. It's like, where's that money going? Where's it going? So my point is that Elizabeth Warren, she's got it. She's rich herself. Notice how none of this ever applies to this woman. She thinks that you should be punished just for being rich. I love the fact that someone can create something for nothing. Was Elizabeth Warren, Kane, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe that she was in Jeff Bezos' parents' garage when he started this business.
Nope. She just wants to inject herself in his life now.
I mean, these communists are making me defend people I don't like. I mean, I'm not a fan of his. I'm not going to begrudge someone their wealth just because I dislike them. You know, their political positions. That isn't it. It means that the great American dream is still possible for people. What is it? There was this Hunter S. Thompson quote that said, it looks as though you're not beholden to the rat race entirely, something like that, because you still have people who can go out and think outside the box and can make something of themselves in those different ways. So I don't begrudge him his wealth. What gets me is when people act astonished that wealthy people are going to use completely legal tax structures to prevent the government from stealing more of their money. I just have zero tolerance for greedy people who want everyone else's money. I absolutely will call it that. It's greed. If it's greedy to demand a right to money you didn't earn. That's greed. No, it's greedy that they want to keep it. No, it's greedy that you want it. You didn't earn it. I mean, look, everything that I have in life, I worked hard for. I told you this before, raised by a single mother, and then she married my stepdad, but we grew up completely poor in rural Missouri, and everything that I had, we didn't have no family money to send me to college, I had to work for it. Everything I had, I've had to work for. So I get it that right now we're trying to condition people in this society to be ashamed of success. Hell no. Be Dagny Taggart about this stuff. Celebrate success. Celebrate other people's success. Recognize that when someone else is successful, that means it's still possible for you to be successful too. And then Elizabeth Warren out there. This woman has never done anything to save anyone of her money, any money. She's never done anything to multiply wealth except get into government and multiply it for herself.
The two beliefs that make me laugh the most are A, that the rich don't pay their fair share, and B, somehow, I forgot what the other one was.
Yeah.
Yeah, the management of money, that government somehow is the best managers of money. That makes me laugh. They don't manage our money well. We're not undertaxed. They overspend.
Exactly. She says, under my plan, this is her tweet, under my plan, Jeff Bezos would pay $5.4 billion wealth tax of his estimated net worth of $181 billion. He could still pay for his space missions and super yachts if that's where he gets his kicks. But as a nation, we could invest in our people, including universal child care. That's not a nation's responsibility at all. And I also don't believe in funding universal child care. And I know that some conservatives are trying to sell me on this quasi-Marxist idea of, well, it's pro-family. It's also pro-Karl Marx. So stop. It's a Marxist principle that you're trying to wrap up in this wrapping paper of conservatism. And you're failing horribly. You fake rhino. Get out. Get out with that stuff. It's like people, it never occurs to people, you mean I can like family and be responsible without the government making me do it? What? It is possible. Good heavens. A nation has never invested in our people. That scares me, that phrase. I'm government. I'm here to invest in you. That sounds terrifying. Because when you accept money for something, there's also some sort of stipulation or at least expectation, right? I mean, there is, correct? So what are you giving up? What control are you giving up? And as Kane noted, I've always said this, if you feel that the government is not getting enough tax money, you have the right as an American citizen to voluntarily contribute more to the Department of Treasury. In fact, when you fill out your tax forms, as Kane noted, there's another little special line there where if you want to give more, you can. But why is it that people who want to give more actually don't give more? They just want the government to force everyone else to give more. That doesn't work that way. But I am completely unaffected and unmoved by these Marxist arguments about any of this. I mean, I completely dislike it. I retweeted her and I said, oh, you don't have a right to other people's money. Oh my gosh, the left does not like that. The left doesn't like it. I mean, and as I've said before, I don't care. Because someone's like, well, you know, Jeff Bezos, he was encouraging lockdowns and business closures, and he uses his market power to get tax deductions no other businesses can get. Well, that's not really entirely true, but also he's not doing anything illegal. If he is, then charge him. I don't care if he's liked or not. That's totally irrelevant. He uses legal tax loopholes to allow the government to steal less of what he's earned. I don't care if I like the person. I don't care. That's just the way it is. And it amazes me, the people that get mad about it, they don't do a damn thing to change it by electing different people. They just complain at the people who take advantage of those loopholes written by the people that they keep electing. Genius. Super genius. I mean, these are irrelevant, dumb arguments only used by Marxists to justify income theft. It's all it is. Oh, I get so hostile. You want to see me get slap fighty? This is the way to do it. I turn into my mom, like when she talks about Social Security. Good night. But it is. If people are dissatisfied with this tax structure, then vote accordingly. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. So, and some people are going, taxes, that's not other people's money. What's your deal? Have you heard of tax law? Income taxation is theft. Property taxation prevents you from ever owning your home. And by the way, taxes are other people's money. The end. That's it. And I sometimes I wonder if this is a psyop. People are like, well, the Great Reset, if you don't oppose Bezos, you know, then you support the Great Reset. So you mean if I don't embrace a Marxist principle to oppose someone that you dislike and you want to abuse the government to to suppress because you don't like his politics, that will make me less of a Marxist? That's like screwing for chastity.
Not how it works.
Not how it works. I mean, it's like, it's just so incredibly dumb. Oh, I'm hostile. I'm absolutely hostile. Overtly so to people who use this stupid drunk reasoning. That kind of logic is why still in 2021, you have first cousins that date. Stop. Don't do it. Oh my gosh, some of the replies that I've gotten are just gold. Absolute gold. Some people say it just blows my mind. Well, he should want to invest in people. He should. No. Look, what is it? What were you saying that even if he pays like 1% off of his total?
If his net worth, if he paid 1% on his net worth, which is north of $200 billion, he'd be paying north of $2 billion at 1%, which means that seems like one person paying a lot. $2
billion? Notice how they never actually say the figure. They just say the percentage. The percent
because the percent sounds low.
So people can go, whoa, only 1%? What? We have more to come, folks. They only ever talk about this, Joe Bakula on Twitter. They only ever talk about his overall wealth. The guy paid, you know, like $1 billion in taxes in 2019. That ain't no small change, folks. And I think it's ridiculous that he had to pay that much. I don't care how much money he has. I think it's dumb that anybody has to give $1 billion. Someone's like, do you know what taxes are? Yes, I've paid more than you. Probably paid more than your entire family in taxes. I've paid a lot in taxes. You want me to sit here and talk to you about taxes? Because I paid my fair share and your children's fair share and your children's fair share. Stop. It's theft. We have a lot still to come. As we get moving on here, they need to cut their spending. I could talk about this forever. I get so mad about this. Some people, we have such an economic illiteracy. It's staggering. That's the new pandemic. For over 40 years, Delta Rescue has provided dedication and everlasting love to animals that have been left abandoned. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. This super sanctuary is home to up to 1,500 animals that have been cruelly abandoned or born in the wilderness and cares for every animal for the entirety of that animal's life. Every animal at Delta Rescue receives the very best of care, and Delta relies solely on donor contributions from people like you for that care. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are the difference between life and death for so many of these animals. Donate today at deltarescue.org, or for more information on Delta's tax saving estate planning, visit directly deltarescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well into the future. This is only available at deltarescue.org/Dana. Show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana today.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's chapter and verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So Chuck Schumer has directed from the floor that senators should be prepared to re-vote to break the filibuster on the motion to start debate on that super not bipartisan, totally partisan infrastructure bill. He says as early as tonight. The Senate failed to break filibuster on motion to proceed to the bill last week. So this is filibuster for procedural votes to get it from, you know, move it out of committee, move it to open for debate, close for debate, all that stuff. So there, he's trying to get some movement on that. Remember, this bill's not even written either. Just an FYI, it's not even totally written at all. Facebook is now getting involved in religion. They signed a contract with a megachurch as the platform's director of global faith partnerships. So they have partnered with, this according to the New York Times, they decided to work with Pastor Sam Collier with Hillsong. I'm not a Hillsong fan at all. And just FYI, totally not. And they said that their developers are working for Facebook. They're going to try to explore ways that they can help churches go farther on Facebook. Partnering with Facebook to, I wonder if they're going to, is there going to be conditions on, I'm really, you know, curious as to the conditions because, you know, they think that the Bible's not woke. That's kind of how it is, right? Biden approval has dropped to the lowest so far, according to a new Gallup poll. We've got that and a whole bunch of other stuff on the way. Don't go anywhere. More of The Dana Show next.
Dana gives you the meat and potatoes news of the day. None of that tofu news. More like bacon with a side of hash browns news. The news you want, the way you want it. The Dana Show.
Senator Speaker, just to clarify something from earlier, is Kevin McCarthy a moron, and if so, why?
I said earlier in my comment, science, 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 and science. On almost every subject that you can name, science is the answer, whether it's the climate crisis, whether it's a health crisis, whether it's our preeminence in the world in technology, science, 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 science. To say that wearing a mask is not based on science, I think, is not wise. And that was my comment. And that's
that's Nancy Pelosi discussing the mask mandate now that they are implementing in the Capitol. There you go. Oh, man, I just saw another really bad soundbite also from Joe Biden. Oh, boy, it's bad. It's a bad one. I'll send that over to you, Kane, as we get going on some of this other stuff. Welcome back to the show. Good to be with you. DanaLash.com. And do not forget to subscribe to Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. And additionally, you can also download the Odyssey app and stream the show, too. Every day, 12 to 3 Eastern, 11 to 2 Central. And no apologies, 5 p.m. Central, 6 Eastern on the 1st. Yeah, it's bad. So the I know everyone's talking about the situation with remasking, and some people are thinking that we might have. I really hope that this isn't the case. I've seen more than two or three of my friends talk about how they think that maybe by October they'll, like, some areas will try to have like another lockdown or something like that because of the variant. Yeah, I don't think that that's. I can't imagine that happening in Texas or Florida or elsewhere. I really don't. I don't see it happening in some of these other places. I really don't. And at least on the floor, they're calling it a hygiene theater. So she was out walking around, and I actually was just pulling up all my video of all of that. I have video of her walking around in her little pink jacket. Excuse me. And being around a bunch of people, talking to people with no mask. And then when she's going in front of the press and she's going to go and take and questions after she makes her statement, then she has her mask on and she makes this big thing, taking the mask off. Do you remember when Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, when they had to have some of their first joint pressers, and Kamala Harris was out and she spoke, and then she stepped away from the mic and she would put her mask on and walk away, and somebody would come over with a little rag that I would imagine was soaked in bleach or something, wipe everything off, wipe the mic off, make a big deal about it. It was so awkward. And then it was theater. It was sort of very Portlandish. And then he backed away. He was all masked up too. And then Joe Biden would come over with his mask on and then stand in front of the podium and then very carefully take his mask off. And then oh my gosh, come on. Come on. This is not happening. It's just all so weird. All of this is so weird. Now, speaking of science, I wanted to play for you the supercut of Anthony Fauci being all over the board when it concerns the science of masks and also science, Kane. Listen.
People should not be walking around with masks. Let me just state for the record that masks are not theater. Wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better. And masks are protective. But it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
There has not been any indication that putting a mask on and wearing a mask for a considerable period of time has any deleterious effects.
There are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course.
You do not need to wear a mask indoors if, in fact, you've been vaccinated. But good that you're vaccinated, but in a situation where you have people indoors, particularly crowded, you should wear a mask.
I mean, it just goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Do you understand now why people have questions? We've talked about this before. Somebody at the Wall Street Journal asked if I would weigh in on this. I have to let me forget. I got to send a quote over because I think it's all trying to figure out where do people line up on the vaccinations. Here's a very important distinction. I and almost everyone else that I know are not against vaccinations. We're not against even a coronavirus vaccination. What we are against is the government forcing you to be injected with something. What we are against is the government forcing you to cover your face under threat of penalty. There, I know people who were arrested because they either opened their businesses up during this stuff, or people who were ticketed because they didn't want to wear a face mask somewhere. I have friends who recently moved to California. Recently moved to Texas from California. They have five kids. And the mother, my friend, took all five of her children to a local park. And this was, I think this is before California opened everything up. And I want to say that it was probably about 6 months ago. And the police showed up because she was at the park with five kids. Someone saw and called the police because they couldn't imagine that all five children were hers. And they said that they told her that only, I can't remember how, like she could only have, the only four of them could be at the park at once. That was the limit California had for outside public gatherings or something like that. And my friend was incredulous. She could not believe what she was hearing. And she said, these are all my children. Like we've been going through, they're all my kids. Like I've gave birth to every one of these kids. We are all live in the same house together. And she legitimately was told that it still violated the crowd capacity size or the person capacity for outdoor gatherings for the state of California, and they would have to leave. So after being cooped up in their house all day, they had to then turn around and go, oh my gosh, can you imagine? No joke, hands to sky. Very good friends of ours, and they just moved here. You know who I'm talking about too, don't you, Kane? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Kane knows them. Did you know that? Did you know that they went up to her and did that?
No, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. The restriction.
The next day, they contacted a realtor, and that's when they decided we're moving. They were done. Wow. There was something like four total or something like that, people. Also, isn't that kind of like bigoted towards like large families too? But they couldn't, and there was no discretion that was being offered. She had to go.
And there's no science that the small children are spreaders. As a matter of fact, there's none of that. Mm-hmm. If anything, you know, all of this that we see, at least the data that comes out, is people with comorbidities, people with obesity. Right. Those are the ones that are vulnerable the most. They should probably get the vaccine, but others should choose for themselves.
Yeah, no, I mean, totally. It's just, this is all so insane. A couple of other things that I wanted to point out here. Because we've been discussing all of this. I mean, and one quick point, because we had that interview with what's his face, Berman, the CNN dude,
yeah, John,
and
Berman.
Rochelle Walensky, and she even said that she even admitted in this interview that there was zero evidence at all whatsoever that the Delta variant itself was actually making kids sicker than the previous strain. Listen,
Delta variant isn't making kids any sicker per se, is it? Because the statistics, as the studies have come back from children in COVID, what from the UK, what did we learn there? Some 99.995% of the 470,000 children in England infected survived. I mean, that's an incredible survival rate. The Delta variant isn't making kids any sicker, is it?
We don't have any evidence that is doing so, and that's really great news. But
okay, but why is then are we, if there isn't any evidence of that, and that is the head of the CDC. If there's no evidence of that, then why is it that we are actually creating policy based on the not lack of evidence?
Right. I thought it was science, science, science.
I mean, we're masking. They're talking about making kids mask in school because what they say is because they think that the variant is making kids sicker. And then you have the head of the CDC is like, no, not really. But what happened to following science? I don't know. I mean, this is a mess. It is an absolute mess. So the CDC is setting policy, except they have no proof whatsoever about whether or not vaccinated people can even spread it, or kids aren't getting sicker. Oh my gosh. So, okay, there you go. So a friend of mine had written, are they assuming that if the vaccinated have the same amount of virus in their air passageways as the unvaccinated, then are they equally contagious? I don't know. This whole thing is just, there's no answer. There's no transparency.
And no talk of natural immunity either. That's another thing. I think natural immunity, not only is it a more effective way to be, you know, not vulnerable to the virus, but also it lasts much longer.
Mm. So now you have a whole other school year of masking, at least for a lot of kids. So they had that. So that came out yesterday. I don't know. You might want to ask your kids' schools if, you know, what they're going to be doing. I know I'm going to be asking my kids' schools. But because they going through that, it's just ridiculous to go through it all again. And having this kind of public fear is not going to encourage schools to open. And in fact, you may have some instances where schools just decide that they want to do remote learning again. Oh my gosh. I'm getting really mad. This is Audio Sunday 10. This is Dr. Nicole Sapphire. And she says the same thing this is the most asked question I get from all of you out there on natural immunity. And it's nowhere on the CDC's website. WHO doesn't talk about it either. Listen to her. She's a doctor.
When it comes to vaccine mandates, it still astonishes me that the CDC has not acknowledged the robust protection that comes following natural immunity. We have more and more data that show us that natural immunity from prior infection likely is going to be just as long lasting, if not more, than the vaccine-induced immunity. So I think a first step forward is to acknowledge those who have already recovered from COVID-19, to add them to the protection pool.
She's right. I mean, why haven't they acknowledged the protection from natural immunity? Why is there nothing? Why? I mean, how easy is it for the CDC or somebody to come out and say, okay, by the way, if you've had it, if you contracted this naturally and you had the coronavirus, then you have natural immunity. You don't need to go out and get the vaccine. They won't say this, though. Why? Because they want to make people confused so that when people ask questions, they can be called murderers. I don't know. I mean, seriously, your guess is as good as mine. But it does make people suspicious, for real. This is not nothing. This is not, we're not following the science here. We're following nonsense. And think about it, too, that I read it. I'm actually looking for this piece that I have. I have a story that I saved in my notes that was getting into just, there's the thought that this was way more widespread. Originally, when the pandemic first began, that it was way more widespread across the country than more people were actually infected but just didn't know it than even previously believed. And I have another CDC story that says here, CDC says vaccinated people may transmit virus. They're all over the place. They cite that's a Reuters story that cites the CDC.
So it's not a pandemic of the unvaccinated is what I'm getting.
And then, there's more. I have more. I'm just citing you news pieces that are quoting actual CDC officials and CDC statements that have been released. This is NBC. New data suggests that fully vaccinated individuals are not just contracting coronavirus, but COVID, but could be carrying higher levels of virus than previously understood, facilitating spread. NBC News is reporting new indoor masking guidance expected. This was yesterday. Expected today. What? So do you see now why people have a million questions? It's amazing. And then I'm going to find this piece. I have it in here. They were looking at, and it was an estimate. It was research done to ascertain really how widespread it was when it first broke here in the United States, the virus, and really how many people actually had it. Because now they're thinking that it was like way more than previous. So we're going to get into all of that. We're also going to talk about some of the economic stuff that's coming down, because I have some things for you on that end. And especially as it relates to what you're going to be looking at for prices for regular stuff, U.S. population growth has ground to a halt. That's super important. Jet fuel shortage. We got all kinds of stuff. So you don't want to miss a beat.
The Dana Show.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So. First and foremost here, this is, I did not realize that this could get like totally out of hand like this. This comes from the Florida Sun Sentinel. One man dies. Another is hit by a boat propeller on the opening day of lobster season. That sounds really hardcore. And it is. One man was airlifted to the hospital. The one who was hit by the propeller, first day of lobster mini season. And authorities got a call from a 911 call around 8:30 in the morning. The injured man, his leg was hit by a propeller in the water off the Lower Keys. And he was taken to Sugarloaf Keys, airlifted to a Miami hospital. His injuries are serious. Then, entirely separately, another guy went for lobsters around 7 a.m. and he was struggling in the water around Sawyer Key and he lost consciousness. So, we like lobster. We don't want it that bad, okay? So, everybody kind of calm down and maybe, you know, don't kill yourself trying to get lobster. Good heavens. And the guy who hit his leg with it, I'm surprised his leg, and it didn't say that his leg was just propellered off, but I can't imagine how it would not be. Your leg hits a boat propeller? Right. Jiminy.
It's worse than a shark bite.
Yeah, yeah, that actually is. Like, yeah, they found something that's actually worse than a shark bite with us. I have a couple of things. This guy went, he's risking jail time over salad. Yeah, I don't know. They're calling it Saladgate in Winter Park. Bruce Woodburn, he got a trespass warning because he requested two salads to go from Hillstone Restaurant. And the branch manager said that the whole experience was ridiculous. So this guy's ordered the same salad for 20 years to go for his wife. And that tradition ended when the police showed up and a trespass warning was issued. And apparently they said that it's against... Now they stopped serving salads to go and they got into an argument, long story short. And so the guy then, I can't believe that they changed their policy. He's like, I've been doing it for 20 years. Apparently I need to go find salad somewhere else.
But as a city, we cannot continue on this current trajectory of losing police officers like we have this year into the next years. Over the past 17 months, the Seattle Police Department has lost 250 police officers, which is the equivalent of over 300,000 service hours. We're on path to losing 300 officers. We are creating meaningful alternatives, but as I said last year, the city has an obligation to still continue constitutional policing and respond to 911 calls. Not unexpected, losing these number of officers. When city leaders talk about cutting a department by 50%, you will lose employees. Families need security. Workers, even police officers, need working conditions that support them. We cannot just cut. We need a plan.
Well, that is Mayor Jenny Durkan of Seattle. And she's calling for more police. Because the city had a bunch of shootings in one weekend, all kinds of gang and drug activities, drive-bys have increased. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. And good to be with you. This Wednesday, we made it halfway through the week. Woo! High fives. Yeah. High fives across the airwaves and internets. High fives. So I will say this, that Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkan was not one of the Democrats who agreed with defunding police, to her credit. Now, that is not to say that the city council and the other people in city leadership, that's not to say that they didn't feel the same, because that's what they were actually supporting. And it should be noted that her opponent, because she's not going for re-election, it should be noted that her opponent is... the person who's leading and looks like they may likely be mayor after she leaves, because like I said, she's not going for re-election. They're one of the people who supported completely cutting funding for police. So, you know, good for her. She's sticking to it. There was a lot when I compiled. If you go to my newsletter, which you should subscribe to, and that. All of the video that I had in the newsletter for, because I wrote this huge piece that says the left has had many January 6th, which they have, as in plural. And I have never understood the argument here that somehow this, because that's really how it's presented, that somehow the left thinks that they can absolve themselves of any kind of responsibility to, you know, 4 years of what has happened. I mean, I remember just in going back to 2016. Do you guys remember when Trump won the presidential election and all of the riots that took place? All of the riots that took place in D.C. because he won the election. Yeah, the left has had many, many, many January 6th. And the left trying to hold January 6th as relative to the years of lawlessness and violence and destruction is the original whataboutism. And I have so many videos from Seattle. I don't even know how many videos I have in here. I have so much in here where, they were just completely lawless. People, you know, there were people being held up in traffic and all kinds of stuff, and Antifa and BLM. I've also noticed that it seemed like the more destructive a riot was, the more Antifa, little white trust fund socialist Antifa people were present. Have you noticed that too? Because I know that there have been BLM protests where they haven't been co-opted. Ferguson ended up getting co-opted. But I know that there were some of those where they were peaceful. But the ones that seemed like Antifa had a presence at, they were never peaceful. And that's a fair thing to point out. I'm not saying all of them are like that, but you look at the videos that I have and you tell me. I mean, videos aren't lying. I'm just putting that up there. So the whole idea of defunding, now you can kind of see why, because people are not there. There have been a number of polls that have come out in the past couple of the past couple of weeks that showed Democrat voters do not support defunding the police. And almost completely contrary to everything that Democrats have been saying, some of the strongest against it were from the black and Hispanic communities. Imagine that. I also wanted to share this study with you, switching gears here and looking at the coronavirus. Up to 60% of the COVID cases in the U.S. may have gone undetected, according to a study. This is the study I was looking for last hour. So now this is a study that came from researchers at the University of Washington. They used testing data, case rates, and death rates to estimate infections in each individual state. They said that they believe that the main reason for missed cases is because of, testing or reluctance to get tested, whether because they didn't think their case was severe enough, or they didn't want to travel out of fear, or sometimes there was a failure rate of the test. And remember, these early PCR tests, as we now know, because of what the CDC sent out earlier this week, they could not differentiate between the flu, which itself is a coronavirus, and the Wuhan COVID coronavirus, right? And so these researchers, they say nearly 2/3 of American COVID cases may have been undetected, meaning total cases could be close to 86 million, according to their study. So now they said that would mean that the true number of infections could be around 86 million instead of 34 million, as recorded by Johns Hopkins data. They said that a better understanding of the amount of people who contracted it will help in handling the potential long-term effects that the virus has on patients. And so the senior author, Dr. Adrian Rafferty, who is a professor of sociology and statistics, they said that they were drawing all different data sources, but they said, the number of hospitalizations in a state or the number of tests that came back positive. They said each source of data has its own flaws, though, that would give a biased picture of what's really going on. They worked with a doctoral student at Washington to gather these cases, and then they used Indiana and Ohio as anchors for their study. And they said since the states used some randomized testing throughout the pandemic, so those Indiana and Ohio served as their anchor studies. And then they said that during the first 2 months, Indiana was they underwent the first major surge. And while testing was limited, they said that many pandemic-related social distancing and masking mandates were limited, et cetera. But, their methodology is very interesting, and they They said that across the country, they found that across the country, one out of every 2.3 or only 40% of COVID cases were found. Virginia was the most successful state, detecting one out of every 1.2 cases or 83%. So they think that this has an impact, long story short, on the level of herd immunity that we might be at currently. Now you have, Kane thinks that we're at herd immunity now.
Yeah, because according to, you know, WebMD and
No, you can't say WebMD.
Okay, I won't say, I won't even
every
use
time
WebMD.
If you have a headache, they tell you that you have the plague.
That part is not true. But at lung.org and other medical sources are saying that herd immunity is estimated between 70 and 90% of the population. So if we know that 65% of the U.S. population has been vaccinated, and then we have 10 to 20% of those folks that have natural immunity, the math tells me we're at herd immunity right now. Who's going to make that call?
Yeah, who is going to make that call? That's the million-dollar question. Now, they said that there's a lot of debate as to how much natural antibodies would protect. I don't think that they know how much natural antibodies would protect somebody from the virus, from contracting it again. I really don't think that they know that.
I don't think the data is out yet, but it's not people that are naturally immune that are also having breakthrough cases, right? It's always the vaccinated ones that are having breakthrough cases. So to me, and some of the data even proves it, that natural immunity is slightly better than getting the vaccination.
Well, now the other thing that they note with this is that in this study, they say that if you're at, you know, if what they are researching is true, and they believe that there might be 80% of the population that have antibodies to read, because that's what you would need to reach herd immunity, and they think the purpose of the studies, they're trying to determine whether or not we are there. That also means that the number of people that have the long-term symptoms, the myocarditis, and which is the myocarditis, that's the heart inflammation, and some of these other cognitive issues, they think that that actually may be higher than expected too then. So I guess that's kind of a downside. But then you would, I don't even know if they've ever actually been able to establish a firm relationship without question. I mean, I think that there's enough to absolutely investigate, but is there enough to say with certainty? I mean, that's the thing. And then what makes someone predisposed to having a condition like that basically because you got the coronavirus? Is someone predisposed to developing that as a side consequence of having virus?
That's why I think comorbidities and obesity, this all should be in the discussion when we talk about this, because those are the people that are most vulnerable, including those in the upper age brackets.
That's the other question that I get from everybody. Like the main question I hear from everyone is natural immunity, and they wonder, because there's some people out there who are like, well, I would be, you know, I was considering doing it, but we already had it, and I don't know, is that going to hurt? Like some people are wondering, would getting the vaccine hurt the natural immunity that I had from getting this? And then is there something to be said for the more severe your symptoms, the higher your natural immunity, or what? I mean, is there any, we don't know any of this. None of it. We don't. And like I said, the other thing that people don't know is there anything at all that would not necessarily be considered a comorbidity? I don't think, like, a health issue that's not a comorbidity, but could lead to very complicated and maybe longer drawn out long-term symptoms with this. Do we even know anything? Do we know that? We don't know.
They would categorize that as a comorbidity, but I guess, I mean, we can quote Saki.
I don't know.
Why do you need to know that information?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the White House isn't even telling us, like, how many of, it's just so ridiculous. All of this is insane. So apparently the new top line infrastructure deal is $550 billion in new spending. And that was per Senator Tom Tillis. That does seem, I think that's a little smaller than what it still seems ridiculously high. I mean, especially when things are not infrastructure. So we're going to follow that. And also, do you know Ibram X. Kendi, the guy who wrote the anti-racism book? That's not his name.
What?
I think his name's like Henry Rogers. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah. Everybody reinvents themselves. Amazing. We have a lot still to come, and we're going to talk to Adam Kinzinger's primary challenger, because I think you need to know who she is, and you need to get, and especially if you're in Illinois, and especially if you're in Kinzinger's district. I'm going to ask her if she's cried. Like, are you a crier? I'm just curious. Serious question. Like, I just want to know, right? We have more to come.
From the dusty mesa, a looming shadow grows.
Shooting down woke culture, one crazy headline at a time. It's The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So we were talking about some of the economic stuff, and as you know, home prices are surging 17% in May, which is the fastest since, what, I think 2004. So prices for U.S. homes have risen faster in May than they have in 17 years, which is super insanely crazy. The S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller, they said 20-city home price, in the 20-city home price index, they released this yesterday, soared 17% in May from a year earlier, on top of the 15% jump in April. So the hottest markets, Phoenix, San Diego, Seattle, those are the top three. And things are changing a little quickly here. Also, a couple of other things. Some medical schools are now teaching that biological sex, and we're going to talk about this, is a social construct. We're going to get into this tomorrow, because this is now, medicine is politicized. I have three different pieces that I'm going to share with you on this, but they said now that they're actually changing the language in some medical schools, where instead of using words like male, female, et cetera, they're not using those. Which, how are you able to quickly provide the best care if you're, I mean, that just does not, again, science should not be politicized. I don't get this. Also, the sparsely attended Biden town hall that CNN had last week, apparently the ratings are in on that. They are so not good. Not at all. Jeff Bezos offers NASA $2 billion in exchange for a moon contract for Blue Origin to land astronauts in space. So he made this offer, apparently, to Bill Nelson, the administrator over there. And he said that Blue Origin was committed to building a future where millions, blah, 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 blah. It's not a deferral. The offer's not a deferral. He's like, I want to offer these contributions, and I'm in a position to do so. Now, we have a lot more on the way. Adam Kinzinger's challenger joins us. Her name is Catalina Loeff. She's primarying him. We'll talk to her next. We're going to ask her if she cries easily. Stay with us.
The Dana Show.
Thank you to my colleagues on the committee. Thank you to our witnesses. I never expected a day to be quite as emotional for me as it has been. I've talked to a number of you and gotten to know you. I think it's important to tell you right now, though. You guys may, like, individually feel a little broken. You guys all talk about the effects you have to deal with, and you know, you talk about the impact of that day. But you guys won. You guys held. Ooh. You know, democracies are not defined by our bad days. We're defined by how we come back from bad days.
He went from laughter to bawling. Yeah.
In seconds.
I know. I mean, Susan Lucci, who was overlooked for the Daytime Award, the Daytime Emmy, I don't think that she had the acting chops that he did just then. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Good to be with you on this Wednesday in the third hour of our broadcast. And I will say, I have been very generous and not being mean. But after that coupled with a bunch of other things, I just feel that Adam Kinzinger focuses too much on how can Adam Kinzinger climb the ladder and best represent Liz Cheney as opposed to his voters in the 16th district in Illinois, and there are a lot of people who are not happy with this guy. And so it's only natural that he would face a challenger. And that's the thing for all of the people who are dissatisfied with Kinzinger. I you need to get someone to run against him. You have to primary him out of his seat. And that is where my guest comes in. Catalina Lauf is she had served in the Trump administration. And he pointed her to the U.S. Department of Commerce, and she has launched her congressional bid. She is challenging Adam Kinzinger. And I keep reading these stories where it says it's a crowded field. Catalina's like the closest to him. Like, she's the one who's raised more money than all the other. I think all the other people that are trying to crowd in that Republican primary only have like five-figure fundraising. They can't raise any money. That counts. So out of all of them, she's the one who best stands to primary him. And I love this quote, and we're going to ask her about this. She says, "I never thought I'd primary a fellow Republican, but is Congressman Kinzinger really a Republican anymore?" That's the million-dollar question. And Catalina joins us now via Skype. Good to see you. Thank you for joining us. And that is the big question. Is he a Republican? Because he doesn't seem like it.
First off, it's an honor to be on with you, Dana. Thank you so much for having me. And no, he's not, which is exactly why Nancy Pelosi appointed him to this commission, because he's a Democrat. This was a kangaroo court from the beginning. They don't want the real answers to the questions. They didn't want to have hard questions there, which is why they denied real conservatives, real Republicans like Congressman Jim Jordan and Jim Banks on that commission. It's a complete joke. It's a facade, right where when he first actually went against the president, voting for the second impeachment was the first disgrace. But then since then, he's done nothing but go on MSNBC, CNN. What Republican goes on MSNBC and CNN and goes against the Republican Party? He belittles the constituents. He does absolutely nothing for the district. And we're so proud to be taking him on.
Yeah, that's him going. I think I see him on. And I don't begrudge, you know, and I know you don't either, a Republican candidate or a Republican congressman. But the fact that he goes on these networks and then runs down, it's almost like he's trying to do everything that he can to stall out or stop any kind of strategy from House Republicans and anything that they're trying to accomplish. I'm just glad that his attention seeking and his focus on trying to make January 6th a thing has prevented him from getting involved in anything related to the budget, because I can't imagine with his. I don't see him do anything except get attention for himself. And Catalina, I think that's what some of the listeners that are in Illinois in the 16th district, they're like, well, we don't know where he's actually represented us. And that's the question. What could he be doing? I mean, what do people in the 16th congressional district in Illinois need that I would imagine it's a lot that he's not doing and surfacing.
No, he's been nowhere to be found. He's one of the typical career politicians. And Dana, we see this all the time on both sides of the aisle. They go to Washington, they forget the voters, they become a part of the swamp. And unfortunately, until we get term limits implemented, it takes strong people that want to go up against them, want to buck the establishment, want to go up against the status quo to hold these guys accountable. The people here in the district, look, it's a heavy manufacturing, it's small business, it's rural America. It's one of the last areas outside of the city of Chicago and Cook County that is still very much Republican before you head further downstate. We are average Americans. We care about gun rights. We care about individual liberties, which, frankly, Adam Kinzinger, who voted on H.R. 8, the gun control bill, is vehemently against individual liberties. We care about things like Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which I was so proud to support as an appointee with the Department of Commerce. That brought huge economic opportunity to this district. When you had manufacturing companies able to thrive, hire more people, be competitive in the landscape. We care about immigration reform and the crisis at the border. We care about kitchen table issues. And he's on this kangaroo court talking about the January 6th commission, belittling Republicans and not getting down to the bottom of what actually happened. He calls us conspiracy theorists. It's a complete joke. Mm-hmm. And the Illinois 16 people are ready to get him out.
I think that's a huge point, too, that you make. We're talking to Catalina Lauf, who is challenging Adam Kinzinger there in the 16th Congressional District in Illinois. And you mentioned manufacturing. You mentioned all these issues. Here we have, and I've been following just some of the developments of this budget battle. I know, in the Senate that's happening. And I know that, it's going to have to go through the House. I haven't really heard any of them. As you said, he's been very, very focused on January 6th and using that, I guess, as I understand that people like Liz Cheney and Kinzinger, to an effect, they think that, I guess, that the tables are going to turn. And at some point, the whole idea, this populist movement that has been going now, for the past 8 years, that it's going to just peter out and that Liz Cheney at some point will take over for Kevin McCarthy. And if Republicans reclaim the House, she'll be the majority leader, which I don't really see that happening with her numbers at all for her reelection. But that just seems to be, if you're focused on power and not servicing your constituents, I just feel like he's in the wrong industry. You mentioned a number of issues there that I've heard from people in that district, Catalina. And what would you tell people in the 16th Congressional District? Because we are heard there. What would you tell people about your chat? Like, why did you decide to get involved and challenge him? I mean, because you could do so many other things. You worked in you were a Trump appointee for the Commerce Department. You understand math. You understand economics. You don't seem like a crier. You're not a crier, right? Are you a crier out like?
Absolutely. Only to the Star Spangled Banner.
Good answer. Good answer. Very good answer. What would you tell voters in that district?
It's time for servant leadership. These people, these career politicians, go back to serve one person, and that's themselves. We are heading into very concerning times here. The socialist movement is rampant. The Biden administration is decimating our economy. We're heading into inflation. The numbers do not add up. You mentioned the deficit, Dana. What Republican has even been talking about things like the deficit, debt, getting our books in order? These things really matter to the American worker, to the American business. I come from a small business. My sister and I have a startup. We understand these everyday issues, and it's time we have outsiders, political outsiders, non-establishment career politicians that aren't afraid to fight for what actually matters. This is a very turning point time in our country's history, and it started with President Trump. He spoke to the American people, and it's time we have better representation in Congress.
There you go. We're talking with Catalina Lauf, who is challenging Adam Kinzinger, 16th Congressional District there in Illinois. I love your small business background, and I go back. I was having a conversation with my kids about this because we were trying to understand how is it that so many people in Washington, D.C. do not understand basic math. I realize that there's a huge problem with economic illiteracy in this country. You have the small business background, so you know what it means to make the risk and to be the first to show up and the last to leave. And in this conversation with my kids, I was telling them, it's interesting because when the country was founded, every single person who was going and serving in Washington, D.C., almost everyone was either a farmer, they were a business owner, some kind of merchant. Like, they understood what it took, the sacrifice that it took. They had that real world knowledge, which I think that not a lot of people in D.C. anymore do. I almost feel like it should be a requirement. That adds a lot more to what you're bringing than a lot of other people. Talk a little bit about how that shapes your perspective in dealing with even bigger issues in D.C.
Absolutely. I'll first start out by saying, my mother came here legally from Central America. My father was a small business. We had entrepreneurship and small business, that mentality just ingrained with us, faith, freedom, family values, and ultimately entrepreneurship, the destiny to be your own person, and that this country gives you the opportunity to you can define who you want to be. My sister and I started our company, and it's been, we are the first and the last to leave. It's your baby. And unfortunately, when you have to bring home payroll, when you have to have employees, when you have manufacturing issues, when you're trying to deliver a product that can change the world, that those real world issues really impact, the way that you view everything else. When you look at Washington, the amount of money that they spend, any company would be completely, it wouldn't be able to survive if we spent the money that we did, if we were in the debt that our government is in. And ultimately, it has a trickle down problem effect. effect. When you are not able to make payroll, it affects another person's family. It affects the community. It affects economic growth all across your town or your community or nationally, whatever your brand or your product that you're selling. And to have that mentality going to Washington, we don't have enough of people who understand the values. And to your point, too, about our founders, they went, they left their farms, they left their businesses to go to Washington, and they came back because they cared more about what their purpose and what their drive was back home than going and serving in a faraway place to be a part of the swamp. They did their time, which is why we need term limits, I think, desperately. And until that happens again, we need to hold these people accountable. We need to bring in political outsiders, people that actually understand what it takes, the grit and the hard work that makes this country possible. And that happens with the small business community and entrepreneurs.
I love small business folks as going in and being a part of Washington. I do think that a person's vote is the term limit. I think that should be the ultimate, because I hate giving Washington, D.C. more power. But I'm all about sending small business people to Washington, D.C. because I'm going to tell you what, nobody can stretch a dollar more than someone who's been in small business. Nobody can do a budget like somebody who has run their own business. I mean, you know exactly what you got to cut from, where you have to offset. And I just think, why we need those people doing that, not somebody like the Bernie Sanders or the Nancy Pelosi's or any of these other people who've never been in the private sector and they've never, ever had to worry about meeting payroll. They've never had to do any of this. Catalina, tell everybody where they can find you online.
Yes, you can head to CatalinaForCongress.com and Catalina Lauf on all social media platforms.
Perfect.
Also, big
perfect.
Alice and Chain Girl as well. So,
yeah, and good music taste. She doesn't cry. She understands math, and she has a good music
taste.
I heard
she likes Def Leppard too.
I love Def Leppard.
Oh my gosh! I now she's yeah. That's awesome. That's crushing, very cool. Crushing. See there we go right there. Just I think that should also be just sidebar. That should also be part of like any consideration. Does your candidate have good music taste? There you go, Catalina Lauf. Really good to talk with you. I know we'll probably be talking with you again, especially as things get rolling and we see the outgoing congressman cry more. But it's good to talk with you. Thank you so much. Thanks for bringing common sense and that small business know-how to all of this. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this, our third hour of programming. I really do think you can tell a lot. You can tell a lot by someone's musical taste. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
So much.
No doubt.
Just, I bet, like, for instance, I bet Adam Kinzinger, but his favorite band is Green Day. Ugh. Right? See, you here, I'll tell you what. You just tell me what your candidates, the people you like, you just give to me what their favorite bands or songs are. Kane and I will just, based on that alone, we'll work up a profile. See, that's telling you. All right, we got a lot to come, so we got today in stupidity. I know we got a bunch of things to do.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's the Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. Make sure that you go sign up for the newsletter. It's on Substack. All good things. A lot of stuff. I'll have some prep coming out for you. We had the big giant email that came out yesterday, and that was getting through all the mini January 6th. It's hard to say that plural of the left, right? So we have all that for you. And don't forget, no apologies. 5 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, I believe. So all kinds of stuff. And of course, we're going to be watching. We'll have all of the latest with any kind of movement on the budget. Kristen Sinema is against that ridiculous budget, the ridiculous budget bill. She's against that, which is good. She's like standing up, I think, because she's actually more of a classical liberal than I want your money, give me that for free Marxist, right? So, I mean, that's a really, I'm happy about that. But she's has already come out against it. So I just really don't think that's going to be something that I don't see it getting through the Senate. I really don't. And then this just came in. Dusty Hill, bassist and founding member of ZZ Top, has passed away at age 72.
Aww.
Ooh. I'm telling you, things are, they released a statement. They're saddened by the news that our compadre Dusty Hill passed away in his sleep. He was one of the surviving, he was one of the founding band members. The statement was released by Billy Gibbons and Frank Beard. I love ZZ Top, so I had to make mention of that. Our prayers are out to his family. So, but yes, make sure you go sign up for the newsletter, all those things. Is it time for today's stupidity?
Yeah, we're just over a minute, so that's actually
perfect. Okay, good. I was like, I don't know what I did.
Yeah, so today in stupidity, go ahead and fire that off. Thank you.
That was my bad because I lost track of time.
Oh, no, it's all good. CDC's director, Walensky, was talking about the kid mask mandates that they're imposing. So you would think they'd have some data that, you know, kids are getting sick, but listen to
this. Now, the Delta variant isn't making kids any sicker, per se. Is it because the statistics, as the studies have come back from children and COVID, what, from the UK, what did we learn there? Some 99.995% of the 470,000 children in England infected survived. I mean, that's an incredible survival rate. The Delta variant isn't making kids any sicker, is it?
We don't have any evidence that is doing so, and that's really great.
We just don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
And then my friend Jay asks, how in the world did Washington, D.C. go from moderate risk to substantial risk in the span of 24 hours? Their 7-day average of cases is 48. What? I know. I'm telling you. We'll talk more about this tomorrow, but it's by design. It's about amplifying, trying to just ratchet up fear. Really, it is. Folks, have a wonderful night. Sign up for the newsletter. Never fear. We'll be back together tomorrow.